Clubhouse.
Welcome to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home with your hosts, Beth Kushnick and Caroline Daly.
Welcome to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home. I'm Caroline. Hey, Beth, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm so excited today. We have been doing this podcast for 5 seasons across nearly 4 years, and we've talked about countless numbers of your projects, but we never really got to deep dive into them. Like, I never really got to deep dive with you, which I'm so excited to pull back the curtain in detail on one of your jobs. So this week, we thought we'd deep dive into one of your most classic films, 1990's Reversal of Fortune.
I'm really excited for this discussion as well. We decided to focus on Reversal when we were talking about doing a deep dive into one job in particular, because recently I just did a flashback Friday, 34 years later, into Reversal, and it just got thousands of responses from people for a film that was made a long time ago. It still resonates. It was a really formative job for me, and I'm excited to talk further about it.
I got to watch this film and get to talk to you about it, which makes me thrilled because that's so exciting for me to actually be able to see your work. I was teasing you before we got on here that I was like, Beth, touch that vase. I was like wanting the actors like, get out the way. I need to see all Beth's like individual book choices. And like, all it was so much fun to watch. I'm so glad we get to talk about it. But for those of you guys, listeners who do not know Reversal of Fortune, let me tell you a little bit about it. It was directed by Barbet Schroeder. Reversal of Fortune was based on Alan Dershowitz's 1985 book about the case Reversal of Fortune inside the Von Bülow case. This is just a quick summary. So when socialite Sonny Von Bülow, played by Glenn Close, inexplicably slips into an irreversible coma, her husband Klaus, played by Jeremy Irons, is arrested and convicted of attempted murder. Klaus hires showboat Harvard lawyer and law professor Alan Dershowitz, played by Ron Silver, to represent him on appeal for a new trial. Though unconvinced of Klaus's innocence, Dershowitz enjoys a challenge, and together with a group of his students, which I completely loved, looking at each of their faces and being like, I know all of you, that they all fight to have Klaus's verdict overturned. This was an amazing movie for like who's who. There were so many faces.
Absolutely. We'll get more into that. You know, the movie and the book were based on the real-life Von Bülow trial, which captivated America in the early 80s and really set the stage for sensational celebrity trials that certainly are still going on.
I know, right? My gosh. I feel like every single week on every channel, there's like a new this week trial of the week. So Reversal of Fortune is available, listeners. If you guys would like to go check it out, you can rent it or buy it on Amazon Prime Video. And there's a bunch of other online sources. So check it out. Beth, like we always do, let's start from the beginning. Talk to us about how you got this job, because you'd been working a little while in the industry, but this was still pretty early in your career, right?
It was a moment that I remember when I got the job, running around my apartment and screaming out of happiness. You know, in those days, the interview process was much different. You went with a portfolio of photographs of your work, and I think in a way, more of an expectation, really, to have expertise in a lot of different ways. You know, again, this was all pre-technology. So I did the interview process, and that sometimes happens on the phone or later in my career doesn't happen because I'm going back to work with people that I know. But this was a new production designer who's no longer with us, but known for being quite the character. His name was Mel Bourne, most famous for many, many of the Woody Allen movies that he designed, and sort of a tough nut to crack. And I just really remember getting the phone call. And for the first time, I felt like it was a real achievement. And this was all before I even started the job.
So did you know this story before you actually landed the movie? Because I'm going to share my age a little bit. Freshman year of college was the O.J. Simpson trial for me. And so I hope my parents don't hear this one, but I missed an awful lot of class watching O.J. So from my understanding, this trial was much the same, that people were really tuned in and everyone wanted to know the details.
Yeah, riveted. Yeah.
Were you familiar? Did you know much about it?
I knew what the New York newspaper headlines really were talking about, you know, and there were some really crazy headlines. As a matter of fact, there's a scene in the movie when Klaus sees either a New York Post or a New York Daily News headline in a newsstand. But I wasn't extensively familiar with it. I was familiar with the fact that Sonny von Bülow spent years of her life in a coma, and reading the script and realizing what had to be done, the most interesting thing to me was that this hospital room had to be made almost as her home, and it was transformed by her family to be at the level that she lived at and decorated at. So, you know, she had a hospital bed with a real headboard and not a lot of hospital equipment, but that's how she lived the end of her life. So there were a lot of details that I learned to begin with and did a lot of research. It was really fascinating.
Okay, so before we get too into the details, give me like a 10,000-foot view. What was the biggest difference of working on Reversal from any of the jobs you do today?
Well, as I refer to often, Reversal was done in the good old days before any modern technology existed. You know, for example, I was expected to carry around a Yellow Pages for all of the areas that we were shooting in. For you kids who don't know, the Yellow Pages was the business version of a phone book. You know, a big, heavy list of vendors where you could always find a hardware store. The way in which things were done were as if you were doing everything by hand. There was no support of technology. You know, it was a different time, totally different mindset. I didn't ever have communication at my fingertips. I never was able to share photographs. It made for an interesting process between the set decorator and production designer. I mean, especially on this job with the level of antiques, I would start off going over sets and maybe going with Mel to a particular prop house and selecting things, you know, starting the whole list for each set together because there wasn't this immediate process. Here, snap a shot and text it, you know, it was really different. The one thing that has not changed is this expectation to always be prepared. That was certainly Mel's expectation. And I'll tell you, when I didn't have that Long Island Yellow Pages in the back of my car, I took a beating. Yeah, it was rough, but I learned a lesson. I advocated for myself and it taught me a lot. It really was the first time that I was determined not to break.
I love it. And, resilience,
you know,
right?
In a way, it's still the same. You know, my depth of knowledge, of course, all these years later, and technology has informed and helped my work. But this was a truly formative experience for me.
Reversal tells the story of very rich people in very lush settings. You completely feel the opulence on the screen. Like when I was watching, my eyes were like straining, looking at all the different fascinating, like things that they must have picked up on their travels and just hand-me-downs, you know, throughout so many generations in the family, like all these heirloom pieces and antiques. I was fascinated by all your choices. So I imagine you must have had like an unlimited budget to bring these sets to life.
No, Caroline, you
never.
Know that's not the case.
How did you do this?
The look of the movie is extremely high-end. That was the overriding directive for the selection of everything. I mean, down to every teacup, everything was to be at this level of high end. But much of the budget, unfortunately, went to pay the blockbuster cast. There were 4 Oscar nominees and winners in this cast, and I needed to be very creative with the money available, together with a very demanding and, as I've said, a little difficult production designer. It was the biggest challenge I had faced in my career to date.
I said the story here about your famous ingenuity at work. I don't see any scrimping on luxury on the screen. So how were you stretching your dollars? How were you possibly doing this?
Well, I was really lucky at the time that I had met someone who had a company that manufactured linens. And it just was amazing timing. This all came to me. Because if you've seen the movie, you know a lot of it takes place in bed. Because before Sunny is in a coma, she still spends a lot of time in bed. And the linens needed to look very real for this level of character. So I got linens, product placed. They were beautiful. They had a lace trim and they were different. And I got them for free. Securing that product placement as Glenn Close's character is asleep or unconscious or in a coma in bed for most of the movie, it gave me cred with Mel. And then it also gave me a huge part of my budget that was taken care of. And not only that, I really felt like they were the right choice. They started to inform the rest of their bedroom. And to me, in work that I've done, I feel like they're some of the most iconic things that I've ever placed on set. So it was exciting. It was great.
Well, one of the calling cards of your career has become your flower arrangements. And I am not exaggerating. There's one scene where I was watching and there were some other people in the room and they were like, look, I'm not exaggerating, Beth. They were like, look, there's a flower arrangement when the camera looks that way. And then when the camera looks the other way, there's a different flower arrangement. Like they were like very into the fact that there was like different ones around the room. It was such a funny thing for them to notice. But I was like, yeah, I've got to know, was reversal the birth of Beth and flower arrangements?
Sort of by default. It started with an incredible expectation of doing Christmas. And unfortunately, I think it was a matter of timing and a matter of, let's just say, a misunderstanding that the vendor that I had relied on to do Christmas didn't get it right. And when that was delivered, it was another moment for me to be in trouble. And I decided that day that I was not going to let that happen again for the rest of the job, almost the entire job. So I took it upon myself and I just started doing the flowers myself. And it was interesting. The style in that era was less about arranging and more about like the quality of flowers and, you know, like a vase with 24 roses or 30 roses or different. So it was sort of easy arranging. I started my day most days during the week in the flower market in Manhattan at 6 a.m. And I functioned on my own and I tried to stay afloat under the pressure. And let's face it, I was young and I was determined to accomplish this because talk about the set being another character. I mean, This was really the first time that I ever understood that concept, you know, that we were tasked with presenting the richness and this elevated lifestyle. And it was really pivotal to the script.
You had to understand their lifestyle in order to understand their story.
And
that was coming through everything you were doing.
Right.
Absolutely. So we talked a lot so far on our seasons about your work on TV, but tell us a little bit more about how this process works when you're doing a film, because we don't know that much about how you do your collaboration. I know in television you were very clear that it's very collaborative, but in this case, do you have a lot of interactions with the director? Do you get your marching orders more from the production designer? How does it work?
It always has been for me extremely collaborative, almost more so in movies because the time structure is different. In TV, we're always prepping one episode and shooting another, so you're pulled in a lot of directions. But on a film, and in those days, there was more prep time. You really did get the time to do the research and interact with all the department heads and talk collaboration and what their needs were and what set deck can provide for them. So I think it's more involved on a movie. Since the movie was both shot in New York and Newport, Rhode Island, and there were so many interiors and big sweeping exteriors, it was doing a lot of research because, again, these were all based on a true story, true locations, you know, where were Klaus and Sonny Von Bülow's party, you know, where was it located? It was a real party, so it had to be replicated. All these things, their New York apartment and their existing buildings. So there were a lot of details and research that connected all the dots from the start. Then that ends in the real reality of it and then the priorities of what's important to see and what we can afford. So, you know, it's always putting all of that together. We had locations in Manhattan, for instance, that were like commercial locations, whether they were an event space or, you know, a whole entire building that had to look like an expansive New York City apartment. So there was a lot of detail and dressing a lot of spaces that were large, that had big entries, you know, anything to visually depict the wealth.
The size of their doors in their bedroom struck me because yes. they would walk from the bed to the door, and it's like it looked like they were shrinking because the door was getting bigger and bigger as they were getting closer to it. And it was like, wow, those doors are enormous. So this brings a different challenge, though, I can imagine, when these are real people. Like you said, it was a real party. These are the real homes. Is there something about that of like trying to get that exactly right? Because you know that there's family members out there and people who could say like, my mother would never have that, or my uncle would never do, you know. Was that another aspect, or what aspect of the work really challenged you the most?
I really think it was feeling secure in my knowledge of antiques. This was a contemporary movie at the time, but certainly it was not contemporary in style. You know, the whole process of visually depicting this lifestyle, it was filled with antiques, filled with precious items, everything, all the bedside table dressing and the lamps and lampshades and sculpture and the artwork and the vases for the flowers, and everything was at a certain level. So I think it was working very closely with Newell Antiques at the time. That was one of the places that we started and did a real deep dive and huge selection there. It was also the process of handling all of those pieces. My crew was tasked with making sure they were safe and properly moved and packed and shipped and taken care of at location. So that was a sort of an added extra stress of dealing with how are we going to literally dress the set with all these precious items. Very often when I've gone to Newell in later years, I've tried to use a few things that, again, what I considered my iconic pieces from that movie. They have a bust of women portrayed as the Four Seasons. I think I personally fell in love with them when we selected them. And later on, I ended up using them as sort of my own little Easter egg to myself. I used them in another TV show. I used them in most recently Rare Objects, the Katie Holmes movie. And it just felt like bringing an old friend on the set. It was fun for me.
I love that. I love when you spill some tea for us. So was there any behind the scenes gossip on this film that you can dish for us?
Well, let me put it gently and say two of the actors were not exactly fond of each other. And it was the first time I had ever been on a crew and witnessed that. You know, usually that is even behind the scenes from the crew. You know, it was just somewhat interesting, displayed for all of us. One of the actors, who will remain nameless, put me through it in the most bizarre situation. I got this phone call saying that the frames that had his family photos in them didn't look as expensive as the other actors' family photos. And in fact, it was really funny because I chintzed on not his, on the other actors. and I spent more than I would ever have, and certainly shopped at a retailer that was like so high end, because I was really focused on the distinction between what would be more a male item versus a female item. You know, that was, I guess it was a directive at the time. And it was funny because it wasn't a casual choice. I mean, I really worked hard on covering this baby grand piano and framed family photos. And it was pretty ironic because I spent the most on the ones they were complaining about. But, you know, just roll with the punches.
That's an entire aspect that we haven't talked that much about, you know, the actors themselves having an issue with something that you chose that might work perfectly for everyone else, but for some reason they have an issue with it. That's not something that we've really talked that much about. That, man, did
happen.
You ever expect that?
No, I you know, it wasn't like I could just get a text, you know,
right.
It was a phone call. And then maybe it wasn't a phone call. Did we? I'm trying to think, you know, must have been
like a fax.
Yeah. A beep.
Exactly.
On my beeper.
Exactly.
You know, 911.
It's so crazy. Right. Picture for 911. Oh my gosh. That's so wild. You know what? You met a lot of people on this film and people that I know you ended up working with again, but there were so many familiar faces that I saw on screen. I loved it. It was like a who's who.
It really is. If you see it on TV or you stream it, it's remarkable how many actors from that particular movie have gone on to be really famous. And it's amazing how many actors I've worked with again later in my career, most notably Fisher Stevens and Christine Baranski, both who were in The Good Fight. I did a short film that Fisher directed that, you know, I look back on that movie. I production designed it. It's called Call of the Wiley. It's about Wile E. Coyote.
That's
and
funny.
It's so funny. I suggest everyone looking it up. I think you can see it on YouTube. And it's, you know, like a 15-minute short. It's so good. So Fisher Stevens. And then, of course, all the years of Good Wife and Good Fight, Christine Baranski. It's great when that happens, when I'm on a job with someone that I've worked with years ago, you know, especially from the actor standpoint.
It was so funny when I was watching some of the other people in the room were saying, is that Christine Baranski in the law student group? Is that her? Is that her? And I was like, no, I don't think that's her. And then literally the next scene, she like comes in on the scene.
Yep.
I was like, oh, God, you guys, that's Baranski. Like, come on. Like, there was no doubt. As soon as she started talking, I was like, it's embarrassing anyone thought it was someone else. Like, oh, no. It was
but there
so
are
funny.
Such good actors, even in the student group. So
Yes. Very well-known faces. And you're right. I mean, it just there's a depth of talent that makes the whole film elevated, I think.
Yes.
There's nobody who's you're like, oh, no, not that
no
person.
Small parts in that movie.
No, not at all. Not at all. So after 34 years looking back, what are some of your takeaways from your time on Reversal of Fortune? It must have affected your later work. I know it had to have.
It did. I think my lessons learned on that one job becoming so pivotal in setting me on my way to my next 30 plus years in the business. When I look back, it taught me perseverance. I mean, I was being tested consciously, I would say, And it created a toughening up of me that I think I needed, you know, if I was going to survive in this business. I needed to not take it personally. And I really have been challenged. I think we all are challenged by that in our work, to separate the personal and the professional. I was so thrilled for the opportunity. I danced around my apartment like a crazy person. You know, I felt the accomplishment, like this was a shift in my career. You know, it was a bump up. And it serves me as a calling card for many years after that. You know, for years when I would interview for a job, I heard many a time, if you survived reversal, I know you can do this job. You know, you're hired. And I think people felt that it was of a level, you know, a different kind of thing than I had experienced before. So if I was ever going to stop doing this at any point, that could have broken me and I would have gone for my alternative career opportunities.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Could you imagine if, like, this was the end of the interview? We were like, and Beth never decorated again. Oh my gosh!
You know, it could have been bioethics.
Yeah, I can tell why this job would be so important to you. I can see like how much you had to work through. And like you said, the set was a character unto itself. And that's undeniable. I mean, in the film, there's nothing, you cannot possibly watch this and not look at the background, look at everything that's going on all around them.
Well, there's even a famous clip of Glenn Close in the movie where she's very serious and toking on a cigarette. She smokes their cigarette and says, I'm going to redecorate this whole fucking place.
I loved that. I yelled out. I was like, that should be Beth's line.
That's my tagline.
I freaking love it. That's amazing. I heard it. I was like, that's amazing. We should all be like, that should just be like your ringtone, like everywhere for everyone. It's amazing. I love that one. So I get it why it's so important to you, but why do you think it resonates so much with our listeners and with people who are out on social media? Why do you think you get so much engagement when you put this particular job out there?
I do think that even though if you're watching it now, it has, of course, like a patina of being a period movie because it was made in 1990. It has the, you know, it feels 80s. But I think that style is interesting to people and, you know, it's been hot again. I think the sort of legal aspect and the moral aspect and the family aspect, you know, and that these true people, these people in real life went on to be portrayed and live the rest of their lives and stay sort of in the news. I think that has a lot to do with it. Jeremy Irons won the Academy Award for his portrayal of Klaus von Bülow. I think that has something to do with it. And really, this whole true crime and mystery kind of portrayal in the movie is really interesting, you know? And I think sort of people's opinions about it have changed, affected by other true crimes that have taken place. You know?
Yeah, we're all like, we could solve this now, like to the internet.
Oh, exactly. You know, and
we have like our home DNA kits.
Right. And watch it for what you find. I mean, I heard from so many people that I encourage you all to take a look, see what you think, you know, and let me know. I really want to hear from people who've now listened and heard a bit of the backstory.
I very much encourage people to go check it out. I think you guys are going to love it. And if set decoration is your interest, you are going to just have a feast for your eyes because there's every single thing that was going on. Honestly, I'm not joking. And I was like, I wish the actor would move over so I could see more things behind them because I just wanted to see everything.
I know. I mean, even the Christmas decorations, yes. Another thing that we got from that same company that made the linens. I mean, I don't think I've ever poured over, certainly not in television. You know, you repurpose things, you take them from your shop, you have used them from one character, you use them in a different look, in a different way. But this was really like building an arsenal at such a high level, because the interesting thing, like what you said about the doors, the scale of everything was very different. I had never really experienced that. You know, it was overstated and oversized and grand, and the surfaces and the, you know, inlays and wood and all of that. And because we were shooting in these locations to be private homes that were really mansion size and had to be filled, we built the famous bathroom that Sonny collapses in in a mansion that we were shooting in a huge room. It was in order to be able to shoot her on the floor collapsed, you know, and see the whole bathroom, it had to be supersized just to shoot the scene. Wow. So I remember the bathroom fixtures, you know, all gold and very elaborate. So all those things, it was like everything was on supersize me, you know? It just required a lot of it.
I could see where it would hone that skill, though, for you about proportion and scale.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, you had to, right?
Right. The bed, the floor. I mean, never again have I, well, once, I think, in The Good Wife, but never again have I used a four-poster bed. You know, it was like, it's just not done because it's hard to shoot. But they, you know, it really worked for this. So all those kinds of things, they were firsts for me, you know, and I experienced all of this, plus the pressure, plus the living down my learning curve. All of it was at the same time. So
I think it's remarkable.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if I could do it today, but
I bet you would do it like, I can't even imagine what it would look like if you did it today. Wouldn't that be kind of fascinating? Would you ever want to do that thought experiment?
Oh,
like,
I'd love to.
What if you did that today? Like, where would
a
you
remake.
Go? What, how would you change it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of rad. Now we need a remake of Reversal of Fortune.
Yeah, come on, they're remaking everything.
Well, where should they reach you if they want to talk to you about Reversal of Fortune or any of your work?
You can see it on my website at www.bethkushnick.com, and you can reach me through the website.
Please reach out and give us some feedback. We'd love to hear what you think about these projects. That's going to do it for this episode of Decorating the Set. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home at Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave a 5-star review. It helps a lot in promotion of the show. 5 stars, people. Thanks so much for listening.
Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home is an original Pod Clubhouse production. Recorded, edited, and produced at Pod Clubhouse Studios. For more information, please visit us online at podclubhouse.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Decorating the Set at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening.